It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. In just a moment, we'll welcome Amanda Moyer to the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Later on, Week in Geek. Dennis Pitzenbarger going to be here. We'll talk about the Rockstar Supernova. We'll talk to a guy named Don who actually attended the taping of Rockstar Supernova on Sunday, etc., etc. What have we got here? Well, we'll get these calls here in a second. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Do we have the Atlanta or the Southern? No, I guess it's not. She's not in Georgia. Well, I got nothing. Let me find the. Let me just play the CBS and the. Welcome now to the Rick Emerson Radio Program. CNN radio correspondent Amanda Moyer, who's in New Orleans or Narlands. Is it Narlands? Is that kind of how they say it?
Pretty much, yes,
Narlands. Narlands. How are you, Amanda? How are things done? This is the one, is the 1 year anniversary of when the storm started or hit, or what is today the anniversary?
Today is the 1 year anniversary when Hurricane Katrina hit the city and the levees gave way.
And so is it, I was watching, again, a lot of this comes from the Spike Lee documentary, which has just recently premiered on HBO, When the Levee Broke, which is a four-hour documentary. And there were several people who noted on there, and I don't know if it's true or not, that the actual storm that hit New Orleans was not, as they said, for the bulk of it, was not a Category 5. They said that the actual storm that hit was, by the time it hit them, was that a category 2 or 3 or something, that it was really the breaking of the levees that caused all of this. It was not the storm proper. Is that kind of accurate, or?
That is accurate. Hurricane Katrina came ashore as a Category 3 hurricane, and what happened is, at first it wasn't so bad because, you know, the hurricane ripped through causing damage as a Cat 3 would, but then the levees broke a couple hours later and in five different places, so a wave of water came through, and that's why 80% of the city was then flooded.
I hate to sound like a journalist who's just looking to pin blame on somebody here, because everybody kind of does that, but is it just that the levees were built badly to begin with? Is that kind of the thing, or were they just too old, or did they just not see this coming?
Well, it's hard to believe that they wouldn't see this coming, because hurricanes are constantly coming through the area, or at least moving nearby. But a lot of people here blame the Army Corps of Engineers. They say that they should have known that they should have been built to withstand a Category 5, and this work should have been done way before this. And it's like a big blame game here. People are blaming the federal government and FEMA and President Bush, and other people are blaming the state and local governments. So it's everyone is really to blame, is what the general consensus here is.
I have these very straight-laced right-wing in-laws, and they have a tendency, as do many people on the Internet, to boil things down to one simple but inane sentence. And the way that they have sort of encapsulated this is to say, well, when the government tells you got to leave somewhere, next time on it, you just leave. But that really does, there were hundreds of thousands of people, right, who were left behind, were these people who, did the majority of people who were still there opt to stay, or were they not able to leave, or is it some combination of the two? Because I don't know.
It was a combination of the two. There were people who wanted to go but had no means of transportation. The areas that were the hardest hit, the Lower Ninth Ward, St. Bernard Parish, in the Lower Ninth Ward, hardly anybody has a car. It's a very poor area. So, I mean, those people didn't have the way to get out because, you know, the buses and other system, this is one of the reasons why, you know, Mayor Ray Nagin has come under so much fire, because, you know, there wasn't a way for these people to leave. And then you've got other people who say, oh, well, you know, you should have just left. And there's people that say, no, we wanted to stay. We didn't want to leave our homes. We didn't want to go to Houston. We didn't want to go to Baton Rouge. We didn't want to go here or there. We wanted to protect our cats and our dogs. If you remember, so many pets
right
behind, and so many people didn't want to do that. And nobody, I don't think anybody could really forecast the flooding. Nobody realized that, you know, the whole city was going to flood and people were going to be on their roofs. So I think if they knew that and knew what they know now, more people would have left.
Well, because the last time there was anything remotely approaching this was with Betsy, right? Which was, what, 65 or 64?
Well, Hurricane Camille was a big hurricane that came through here in the 60s and did a lot of damage. That's what Hurricane Katrina has been compared to, but nothing like what we saw with Katrina. But with with Camille, we didn't have the flooding either.
And so you've got to, I don't know, a year later, there's all these people, they were sent to, you know, Utah or to Houston or to Oklahoma in some cases. And so it's like a year later, and are the bulk of those people still in whatever city they were sort of sent to, or the bulk of those people back?
Well, the population in New Orleans is about half of what it used to be. And one thing I found interesting is there's very few children here. I've hardly seen any kids. I saw kids in the lower ninth ward, in which is the poorer areas where people didn't leave. And I wondered about schools. You know, there's a lot of schools that only half of them are opening. And it's the same with other places, too. Only half the hospitals are operating. Half the city's bus routes are in service. A lot of the traffic lights are still out in St. Bernard Parish. So there's a lot more to be done here than people realize that are just coming from the outside. Or if you're a tourist and you come to the French Quarter, the Garden District, you're okay. The downtown area, the business district, these areas look fine. You've got businesses starting to open. That's where you see like half the businesses are back up and running. It's all in these areas. So when people come here, they could actually miss all of the devastation if they just went to the touristy area.
So the question that everybody, I guess, was asked is, so we're a year later, and if an even moderate storm were to hit today, is everybody just screwed? Have they made any inroads toward keeping people safe if it happens this year?
Well, that's the big question. The Army Corps of Engineers says they're really not sure if the levee system here can withstand a hurricane that with a heavy storm surge like Katrina had. The group says that they did everything they could to repair the levees in 1 year, and they say that it's at pre-Katrina levels. And however, it's supposed to take about 2 or 3 years to completely fix the levees and make them stronger. So they're kind of in a wait-and-see approach, and I think really just hoping that another big hurricane doesn't happen so they don't have to test it.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. CNN radio correspondent Amanda Moyer is kind of surveying everything down in New Orleans. Thank you, Amanda.
Thanks. Have a good day.
All right. There you go. CNN radio correspondent Amanda Moyer in Louisiana. All right. It's 503. Not
she's
very
she
informed.
Sweet.
What?
No, she's very informed.
She's very fine. There's no problem with her at all, Tim Riley.
She's terrific.
All right.
It was insightful and educational.
Okay. I think with you calling her old and then us playing the clown much, probably freaked her out.
Well, you know, that's the first time we've touched her. You know, because she's the Amanda is the other woman who was over there in Israel with Nanette Sosa. But you know, we never talked to Amanda. We only ever talked to Nanette. And so I sort of think that the word about this sort of filters through CNN. Mm-hmm. I sort of figure that having been over there and sort of being roommates with Nanette,
that everyone's gossiping about us all the time.
I would think that at night when they were curling each other's hair, that Nanette would say, I talked to that Rick Emerson today. And then Amanda would say, who? And then they would talk about us and giggle, and then they would make s'mores.
Oh, I wish I was on that program. And so now her wishes come true.
Yes, but I don't think she found it as gripping and as entertaining as most do. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Here's what's coming up. Later on, are we talking to somebody else at 2? Is Roop on today? I guess not.
No, he's off.
All right, no, it's Dennis. So Dennis Pitzenbarger is going to be here later on today. We have the Week in Geek at 1:40-ish. We're going to talk to Don, who is at a Rockstar Supernova taping. And here's the thing. Before we get to that, I have to try to figure out what it is she sings. Because that's kind of the thing we started doing every week. Because I got to figure it out. And so that is sort of because when he comes on, he's just going to spoil everything, which is fine. I mean, that is sort of the price we're willing to pay. That is an exchange I'm willing to make. That I learn all the spoilers and all the things that I typically try to avoid in exchange for a guy who is there, because there's so much. And Davey has told us this, because he's seen some tapings, that there's so much that changes between the taping of the actual live performance and then whatever, you know, the thing that we finally see on Tuesday. Because it's like a 3-hour taping, and then they boil it down to 44 minutes. So, anyway. Well, let me get to...
I think I know that look.
All right. Well, so here's the thing. So Nate's on the phone. As well as some other folks who were in line ahead of him, but we could probably skip to him at this point if you're willing to do that. It's also awkward.
It is.
It's where Tim starts shifting uncomfortably in his, I'm not comfortable with these displays of emotion.
Well, later we have Kira Phillips from the ladies' room when she forgot to turn off her mic.
Oh, yeah.
And we have a fantastic corpse watch as well.
That was my biggest fear working at Coin.
Kira Phillips? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's genius. Oh, you haven't watched Entourage yet, have you, the last three episodes?
No.
Oh, there's an embarrassing moment with somebody leaving a mic.
Oh, I would actually take off my mic pack because I was so nervous.
She went to the loo in the middle of President Bush's speech.
Yes.
Potty break mic snafu. Oh, that absolutely screams.
So we'll have to listen to that later.
All right. Well, we'll get Casey, and we've got some other folks here in just a moment. From the Sunshine Band.
Get down tonight.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. I'll let you take this one, Sarah. This is
Oh, no,
Nate.
Go ahead.
Well, what am I going to say? I'm just trying to steer the ship, sister.
I'm just trying to hear. All right. Hi, Nate.
Hey.
All right. Let's hear a different perspective, because it has been one-sided here.
I haven't been able to listen, so I need to get a point by point.
It'd be better if you don't hear it right from us. Would it be better if you find like two or three of your friends who heard little bits and pieces of it to sort of convey it to you through a fourth person so that you
No, give it to me through the vultures.
Well, I assume that you were listening to it because you wrote me a couple messages referencing what we were talking about.
Yeah, I was able to step in for like 2 minutes at a time. I've been busy, but go ahead. What's up?
Well, you know what's going on.
Yeah, but I don't know what you guys are talking about. So.
We're just still trying to kind of figure out why you're so mad about me looking at something that you've posted on a public forum, and then why you got all worked up and decided it would be funny to leave me at the convenience store yesterday.
Oh, well, leaving you at the convenience store? We'll start there. I would do it again. You were on your hands and knees begging for it. We were two blocks away from where we were going. I didn't want to talk to you anymore, so I bounced.
But why didn't you want to talk to me? What were we talking about that you didn't want to talk about?
The fact that you were making out with the guy?
Making out? You are such a liar. I showed you a picture.
Turn your phone of you making out with a guy.
I'm sorry. If I actually was making out with a guy, you think I would take a picture of my phone and then show it to you and be like, hey, look, this is what I did over the weekend. That's my gay friend Mario. You know that.
Okay.
And I don't hide anything from you, Nate.
No. Listen. I've never met Mario. I've never met this dude.
I'm sorry.
I know. He's just telling you that he's gay, because that's a pretty good way to be able to make out with some chick.
You know, this is so not the point. I really appreciate you trying to change the subject off of you, but let's get back to the matter at hand.
Is Mario, in fact, a gay man?
Mario is so gay. He's a model. His boyfriend's a model. His godparents are David Bowie and Amon.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Which automatically makes him gay somehow. It doesn't add credence to the fact. Let's go to your subject and get off mine. That's absolutely fine.
Wow, this is a really stellar relationship I've got going on.
Well, I mean, I was
on my hands and knees begging for it.
I'd like you to kind of mediate in an unbiased fashion, especially since
that's the approach that I just got. I thought it would be kind of humorous, and I'm on my hands and knees begging for it. That's a little creepy.
I think we're going to go out and get a snack. I'll be back.
Go.
Okay. Tim's going to go Simonize his car.
Bye, Tim.
Here's kind of where things were earlier when we were talking about this. What has happened, apparently, and this is, again, just kind of where I am, is here's the guy, in, not in the middle, but the guy who's, I don't know, who's just sort of steering this, that sure. I think the issue was that you had put something on a public, a message board, a thing which apparently anybody could see.
Absolutely.
And I guess the theory was that it was like weird that there was 5.5 billion people in the world that were fine to read it except for your girlfriend.
I have no problem. Everything that's on there, I've already told Sarah. Like, she knows everything that's on there. Like, it's not like we communicate through the computer or I'm trying to or anything. I've told her everything that's on there. Like, everything that she could read is, I've told her about.
Which is why it shouldn't be a big deal if I happen upon it. Right?
You didn't exactly, but the thing is, to find me on there, you have to like go looking.
Nate, I know you've directed me to your LiveJournal before to show me like lyrics from a song or a funny story that you told about the weekend. I know how to get directly to your webpage. It's the LiveJournal thing and then your name. That's
okay.
What it is. So I'm not like searching you out. And you know what? Plus, a lot of our friends look at your LiveJournal, Nate. It's not something that's private.
Okay, that's fine.
That is no, but it isn't fine because everybody else can comment on it but me, and I try to do the mature thing. I bring it up to you.
You comment on it by being a member of the community, and you can actually talk to me about it. That's totally fine. The thing is that I just feel like you were going through my underwear drawer. I feel like you're going through my stuff looking for something.
I feel like if you didn't want people to read it, then you should A, not put it on the internet where everyone can read and comment on it, or B, make your thing private so that I won't have the opportunity to read it.
Well, here's the, I just found out about the private thing. I didn't know you could do that.
Well, I'm not a live journalist, and I've never hid anything from you.
I've never hid anything from you. I've told you everything.
Except for the fact that you said you and Chris weren't communicating anymore, and when in fact you're leaving cutesy comments for her like, oh, show me the hot picture of you in the magazine.
Okay, let me go ahead and explain that. One, you had said, hey, blah, 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 don't talk to Chris, which I think is, she dumped me 6 years ago.
You know, and it makes me uncomfortable that she's still writing you to this day, being like, whatever, I don't know if you guys are, like, still starting your relationship or whatever. You knew it made me uncomfortable. You flat out told me you guys weren't talking.
I did. I was like, hey, listen, don't write anymore, blah, 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 whatever. I told her that, and that was fine. And then later on, like probably 6 months later, she's like, hey, oh, I know where you can find, I was looking for money clips. So she's like, I know where you can find the money clips. Here's where they are. Whatever. That's fine. And she's like, I know I can't write to you on this. So if you don't want to hear from me again, whatever, just, you know, ignore this post, ignore this email. And I figured that enough time had gone by that point, and I've proved that I've loved you in enough ways that you could trust me to get advice on where to find a money clip from somebody, from an ex-girlfriend.
I don't even know what the money clip thing is that you're talking about. What I know is that you, Chris, had said that she had a picture in a magazine, and you said post the hot picture of you so that we can all see it.
Okay, I mean, she wrote, hey, I got this picture in, like, a National Geographic or something. There's a picture of me in National Geographic of me and all my friends looking hot. So I wrote back, hey, post this hot picture. That's what I wrote, and you saw that.
Yeah, and you apologize for it.
I was using her vernacular back at it. If she had been like, hey, there's a picture of me and all my friends looking ugly, I'd have been like, post this ugly picture.
Okay. But you seem to think it was
post a tiger stripe picture.
You know, I don't want to do this talking over each other thing. You seemed to apologize about it yesterday. You said it was inappropriate and you deleted it because you seem to think now that it was some kind of inappropriate thing, and now you're turning it around saying that it wasn't.
Okay, you know what? It was inappropriate to you, which is why I did it. You didn't want me talking to her, so I deleted it because
no, it's not even that I didn't want.
I don't feel like it's inappropriate.
You know, you lied. The problem is that you lied. It doesn't matter if you are or are not talking to her. The point is, you said that you were not communicating with her anymore, when in fact you still are, and you're just pissed because you got caught, and now you're just flinging it back on me.
Okay. That's fair. I told you that quite a while ago. And then this whole thing had come up, and any communication between me and her had happened within the last week, 10 days.
Okay, well, I wouldn't know otherwise, because I don't see, you know, it's just the thing, like, since you weren't telling me that you guys were communicating at all, I don't know if you guys are talking on the phone, if you're emailing back and forth, like, what the extent is. All I know is what I saw, and all I know is the huge reaction that I got from you from looking at something that you post on a public forum, back and forth, little comments to each other, you know? And you're just mad at me because I found out. I don't know what your relationship is with this girl anymore. Because you weren't honest with me about the comments. I didn't even go through. I saw the one that you did about the picture, and I directly asked you why you were asking her about the hot picture. I went straight to you.
Because it was
you,
a National Geographic, and that's pretty interesting.
Sure it is.
It is. If you had a picture of Mario in National Geographic, you'd be like, hey, Mario, can I see your hot, naked male model body who knows David Bowie? Can I see that picture, please?
Why are you so jealous of a gay man? It seems like you are taking something.
Well,
you've latched.
Well, he gets to take out with you way more than I do, apparently.
No, well, you know what? You've latched onto something that doesn't have anything to do with anything, and you're latching onto it to just try and embarrass me and make a point over something that doesn't need to be made a point of.
Well, you see, you came at me with this thing that is not really a big deal, so I'm just.
It was big enough for me to be on my hands and knees begging for you to leave me at the gas station last night and not want to talk to me about anything, and instead write pithy commentary on your live journal again today about me that a couple people sent me about you making fun of me and saying that I'm creepy.
I wasn't making fun of you, and I do find it creepy.
Well, I don't find it creepy at all. What I do find creepy is that I'm getting this huge of a reaction over something that you say isn't a big deal.
Okay.
It just seemed to me like the big, it's from my perspective, like the big thing was that Sarah felt, or I think feels, that she was being isolated out as like the single person who wasn't supposed to read this thing that anybody else could see.
Oh, not at all.
Okay. So I can't comment to you in real life. The only way to comment to you on something I see on the internet is to, in fact, do it on the internet. You and I can't have a human interaction with each other?
All the stuff that's on there, everything that's on there, you and I have had human interaction about. We've talked about everything that's on there.
Well, not obviously. No, we haven't talked about what's on there until this point, considering you haven't been talking to me.
Then I'll end it right now. My ex-girlfriend, Chris, had a picture of herself in National Geographic magazine, which she was unable to post online.
I heard it was hot.
I heard it was hot, too. I haven't seen it.
All right. So, I don't know. It seems like I'm not really sure where else.
I don't know where to go with this.
To go with this because I get the feeling that both of you kind of like holding yourselves back from like a big screaming match, which is probably not going to be
able. Actually, I'm hang on, Sarah. I'm sorry that all this happened, and I love you. Okay.
I love you too. We'll talk later.
Okay.
All right. So there you go. All right. Thank you, Nate. All right. There you go. That's Nate. All right.
I wish I wouldn't have talked to him.
He called. I mean, there was no way I could not have him on.
I know.
You can't call in and have him, because then I'm just doing the same thing if I say he can't come on. But at the same time, it's like, so I'm kind of sorting through these here. Let's,
Well, real life drama is always gripping radio. I can't believe this is my life.
Well, what are you going to do? Let's see. Let's get, Casey. Casey, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Attention advertisers, you too can reach this prime demographic.
Totally.
White trash demographic.
You too can reach
Good
this demographic.
God.
Should I
just go move into a trailer right now? My God.
Well, I mean,
Sarah, you know, unfortunately, this is, I mean, and it's one of those things. I mean, Rick, you can, Laura can probably attest to the same kind of stuff. You know, that, of course, she kind of sort of listens, right?
Laura, well, yeah, I mean, she's productive and has a job and so forth, but yeah, sometimes, not always.
But I mean, like, you know, you said it too, and it's one of those things, like, gosh, you know, I mean, you hear Lycus talk about his personal life, and of course, he's capitalized it. Sarah, have you thought about listening to Lycus 101?
Oh, I ran Lycus for a year and a half. I've listened to it many times.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, not to, like, you know, I don't want to, like, throw salt in wounds and things like that, but...
But let me do just that.
Well, no, but, you know, in hearing Nate, I think he is sincere. You know, I think everybody out there in the listening audience and around the world probably has an ex or two or five that, you know, they probably still communicate with. They probably still, you know, talk to. Not every relationship ends, you know, horribly, and, you know, you don't wish death upon the other person. Sometimes you do. There are those people. But, it is what relationships are. I mean, that's what happens. So, I mean, in a way, it probably should come as no surprise. Yes, it needs to be a little bit more forthcoming. But, you know, the other thing, too, is to look at, you know, you mentioned past and high school boyfriend. And, I mean, we're all young and stupid at one point and those kinds of things. But, you know, you in relationships and in what I've found in knowing, you know, my friends and people that I talk to is a lot of it is kind of what Lycus says, you know, water kind of seeks its own level. And I think in many ways, depending upon how people, you know, what people's experiences are and who they deal with and certain things is you kind of end up getting drawn to those people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm one of those people that's sort of caring in nature and in a way, in sort of like the
how did I know that would be the end of this call? Sarah, I'm a caring individual.
No. But
baby, I'm not like the others.
And I've met Sarah, and Sarah knows me. And you know, personally, I think you should date Aaron Geek in the city. That's just my own view.
Okay.
He's getting married.
All right. No, on the phone. Sadly, the phone is breaking up, sir.
No, seriously, though. I think a lot of it is how, you know, you need to look at past relationships and figure out what, you know, what it is that draws you to those people.
Right.
And, you know, past experiences have shown, and in talking with lots of different people, that, you know, if you're a caring and nurturing person, you find people who are broken and, you know, it's sort of like, I mean, Nate's a musician, right? I mean, it's kind of like taming the wild, you know, the rocker, and all girls want to date bad boys because they think they could be the one. And,
wait.
He's giving good advice Rick.
No, we're losing you, sir.
Thanks, Rick.
All right, there you go. Thank you. There you go. That's Casey. Oh, that's too bad.
You're
okay.
So...
No, I mean, I understand.
No, I know. This is just...
I know, and I know I'll get the, you know, you're ripping off Lycus, or you're just doing a thing, or we don't care about Sarah's life, or whatever, but at the same...
I'll get that one, that guy that writes me.
No one cares about
how much
your
he hates me.
Well, no, here's the thing, is that, and I think, here's the thing is that everybody's feeling, is that it's all really awkward, because during that whole conversation with you and Nate, it was just the sound of two people who were just on the verge of screaming at each other. Which is totally, I mean, and I, you know, I think you like guys who treat you badly. I do, I'm not saying Nate's a bad guy. And I'm going to make this. Be very clear about this because I consider Nate a friend, and I like Nate. I really do. Nate's a likable guy, and I know these all sound like left-handed compliments. Nate is a likable guy. He's a funny guy, like many really angry guys are. He's really Nate is really funny and pissed off and charismatic and angry and. You know, and I'm not trying to be condescending, but I mean, there is a lot of charisma to that angry young man thing. But just because he's not a bad guy doesn't mean he doesn't treat you badly.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And again, I'm not saying that he wakes up in the morning and I'm going to F her head up good today. I'm not saying he does that. But I'm saying that really angry people just tend to take that out on the people around them. And I think you like guys who treat you badly. I do.
I think I do that too. No, because when it's good, it seems like I'm on the top of the world.
And you know? I don't think you have, and here's the other thing, is I don't think you have any respect for guys who are weak. I don't think you have any respect. I think you don't respond well to guys. I think if there's a guy who just lets you walk on him, who doesn't put up a fight, I think you have contempt for guys like that. I do, in a weird way. And I'm not trying to say that it's your fault. But I'm saying that I think that you think less of guys who don't push back. And so I think if you are with, and that's not just boyfriends, I think guys, period.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you are with a guy or around a guy of any kind who is sort of not aggressive or who doesn't stand up for himself, I think you think less of guys like that. And so, but I think the corollary is true, that I think you're attracted to guys who are aggressive and very strong. But the problem is that aggression just comes from being angry and pissed off all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And people who are pissed off all the time are pissed off all the time. And so that just happens to come out on whoever happens to be standing nearby.
I know, I seem to get the brunt of it too, because, you know, since Nate, you know, minus his live journal friends, whatever, who he talks to, I mean, he doesn't talk to a lot of people. So in fact, when he's pissed off about something, I get reprimanded for it because he's taking out his anger, not on the people who know his image, but on me because I, you know, because I see how he is when he's not, you know, doing so wonderful.
Right. Jesse, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, what's happening?
What's up, brother?
You know, I understand I've got limited information on this issue, but it seems to me Sarah's more upset about him talking to his girlfriend, or his ex-girlfriend,
well,
or whatever.
Well, did he say he wasn't?
He said that he was not, which was the only thing, and then got mad at me when I discovered that he did.
But when he was on it, it sounded more like you told him that you didn't want him talking to her anymore. And aren't you and Justin still kind of friends?
Yeah, Justin and I are still friends, and it wasn't the fact...
But you've never denied that.
It's just, there's some things on the radio that I can't say. So, okay. I mean, there's a reason...
So there's reasons why he shouldn't be talking to her?
There's, because perhaps he had shown me things in the past that she had written to him, There are things.
So okay, maybe well, that's, that so maybe that's not
I just
a two way
street. Kind of being overly protective.
What she was writing
not
was
wanting
making,
to talk to an ex girlfriend.
No, what she was writing was unfair. Making me uncomfortable.
So perhaps it was.
And it was what he had showed me.
So perhaps the it being over was a one way street only.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because he's saying that he was dumped, you know, 6 years ago. But the
maybe,
fact of the matter is that
not.
A week later, she was begging him to get back together.
Yeah, that's
right.
Exactly the kind of person you want your significant other talking to.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there you go. All right, thank you, Jesse.
Thank you.
All right, Rob, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
I just wanted to say, you know, they just need to get over it. If I want to hear fighting... I go home.
Seriously.
I know, and it's
just one of those things. It's not like I was like, hey, what can I do to appeal? How can I be relatable today? But I mean, it's.
I'm sorry. If I could go take a cigarette break right now, I would. And then just like, let off.
Yeah. No, Sarah came in today and she's just like, there's this horrible thing that happened and I'm all pissed off and this is a whole thing. And it's, just, you know, it's. That is the good news, bad news about the show is it just kind of goes the way it goes. And,
exactly.
You know,
yeah, and I'm sorry. I know that this isn't fun to listen to.
It's a great show, and I listen to it every day. all day because I'm driving truck all the time. So I hear it, and I love your show.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. All right. Well, we'll try to be in stable, happy relationships from now on. All right.
Thanks a lot.
There you go. Well, let's do a couple more here. And then we'll do, we'll talk Rockstar Supernova. Our good friend, Diana. Hey, what's up, Diana?
Hi, Diana.
Well, I just want to say, Sarah, take care of yourself, baby girl. You don't want to be at the age of 50 with four divorces under your belt because you keep repeating the same mistake.
Oh, you've had four divorces?
Yes, I do.
Wow.
And they were all passive aggressive, unpleasant people, and they were all different, but they were all the same person.
No.
You know, so, but repeating to complete is what I think my psychiatrist said.
Well, no, that's I mean, and you know what, whatever. If people are just are pissed off or think this is stupid or whatever, that's fine. But, you know, that's whatever.
I'm just saying take care of yourself, girl.
I'm saying I'm with you that it's all of that stupid stuff that they tell you in, like, Psych 101 that we all laugh at. And we make jokes about, like, they tell me about your father. And then all that stuff is so retarded and it's so cliche, but it's all... But you know what? You always just date people from your past, whether or not it's your dad or whether it's your mom or whether it's some guy or some girl you dated 15 years ago. You're always just dating somebody you've dated before, and you're just trying to fix all their crap with the new person, which is, of course, impossible. And
right.
So you have this paradox whenever you date somebody where... You want them to be just like the person you dated in the past, but you want them to be different because you want to fix it and have it all run correctly. And so you're seeking this, like, impossible thing. You want them to be just like the person you dated before, but in a way that lets you change everything. And so you just do it over and over again for, like, 30 years, so.
Well, that's why I took a 5-year break, too.
And now I'm
with this wonderful guy who's nothing at all like any of the others.
It's different with you, though, because if a guy gets uppity with you, you can just break his jaw.
Then there's the jail time. I'm not made for the big house, baby.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Thank you, Diana.
Take care, Sarah, please.
Oh, thank you, Diana.
All right, let's do one more.
Well, maybe he's trying to fix some girlfriend who...
oh, no, undoubtedly.
Like,
no,
went through all of his crap.
Oh, no.
And who, like, caught him doing something.
You know what? It's a girlfriend, it's a mom, it's
a
whatever.
It seems like he's having a big overreaction for me looking at something when it seems like his privacy's been invaded in some way, and I'm suffering for it.
Gina, whoa, hello. Hey, Gina.
Hello?
Hey.
Yes.
Hey, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. How are you?
I'm good.
What's up?
I just wanted to call and just comment on the little conversation that Sarah was going through with Nate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, you want to talk to Tom? You're on the air, Gina.
Exactly.
Hello. Okay. There.
That was a good comment, Gina.
Thank you, Gina. That was fast. Where would we be without you? I'm sorry. Brad?
Hey.
How you doing, Brad? What have you...
Hey, I'm good. You know, I know how much Sarah loves...
Are you asking if you can have Nate's seat tonight at Dante's?
No.
Is that what you're calling about?
I was concerned that he's not allowed to be there because I do enjoy his pithy comments.
So does everybody, apparently.
Can he sit on the other side, do the Tory spelling? Can he sit on the other side of the room?
I don't even want to think about that.
And be allowed to do it. I know this night's going to cost me a lot of money because Sarah is going to go, screw it, I'm just getting hammered. Buy me a drink.
Right. No, it's true. All right. I don't know.
But it'll be fine.
Is he going to be there tonight?
If we would have talked, I would know. I have no idea.
All right.
We'll set him upstairs. How's that?
All right. There you go. All right. Thank you, Brad.
Thanks, Brad.
All right. I'll tell you what. Well, let's break.
All right. Let's do some Rockstar Supernova. Forget about my crappy
break.
Life.
We're going to come back, and I'm sure we'll get some calls that sort of continue to come in about this. But when we get back, we'll talk to Don. He was a... listen to that. A little Ronnie James Dio. If that doesn't make you feel better, then I don't know what will. We'll come back. We'll talk to Don. He was at Rockstar Supernova on Sunday. Yeah. And we get more of your phone calls. Dennis Pitzenbarger on the way. You stay there. We can geek ahead. It's the Rick Emerson Show. show we talk about. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. You can email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. In just a moment, we'll welcome Don to the Rick Emerson Show. Speaking of which, he was there. He saw Rockstar Supernova being taped on Sunday. Let me find the... I got a special little thing here. Dun, 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 dun. All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. This is the Rick Emerson radio program. Let me see if I can open this here. Is my computer up? All right.
Yes.
This is a little thing. I had this produced just because I'm a shameless hack. Wait, hold on. And, in another world, I'll have things where the timing works properly. And with the, with the
AM 970, Solid Storm Radio.
How great is that?
Play it again?
You didn't even... just talking to myself here. Hold on.
AM 970, Solid Storm Radio.
Solid Storm Radio.
Oh!
Fine, never mind. Yeah, it was
so I'm getting all
me.
These consoling messages from my friend and my ex-boyfriend.
Do they also... There you go. Is it a lot of, baby, he ain't worth your time? Yeah, that's...
Oh, no, it was just a nice message.
All the emails from Aaron start that way. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Tim Riley going to be up later on. We've also got Dennis Pitsenbarger, who's going to be here. And we've got... I don't know that we're... That top five has become a thing I tease, and it's like we never actually get to it. So we'll kind of see how it unfolds. All right. Do we want to start the storm watch here? All right. Well, let's roll the storm watch for Tuesday.
Oh, you didn't guess the song.
Oh, God damn it. Well, I'll do that before we bring Don on.
Portland area and surrounding cities and suburbs. The Rick Emerson Show is issuing a severe storm watch in your area.
First and foremost, I am a performer. I take command of the stage. I take control of the show and give everybody a good time.
Storm, did it freak you out to be the first performer tonight?
I like being first. I am unafraid.
So it sounds so crazy in one.
All right. Now,
I am unafraid. Or in that one line.
I will be. I'll be sad when that's. When this is over, we don't have to play that anymore. All right. I got all these emails. Rick. Oh, this is. Now I posted this on my website. You can see these pictures. Rick, Gary from Hillsborough. My wife and I were in L.A. this last week. We went to Universal City Walk. The sweet performances by the Rockstar Supernova contestants. We talked to Storm before she went on stage, and she sends her love back to Portland to the Rick Emerson audience. As soon as we mentioned we were from Portland, she got a very sad look on her face and told us how homesick she is. I think it's starting to get to her. She performed the hell out of anything, and Should I Stay or Should I Go? With some 80s band backing her up, they weren't too bad. You can tell that this crowd liked Storm, but they loved Delana and Lucas. Like you said on the show, the worst-case scenario is that Storm doesn't front Supernova, comes back, and is 10 times bigger in Portland. I think that's what's going to happen. In the long run, it's the best thing for her and the Balls. She was pretty effing awesome, though. Glad to have hometown fans in the crowd, too. I've attached a few pictures. Feel free to post them. Rock on, Gary in Hillsborough. So I post those. And you can tell, by the way, she did make that observation that she's lost weight. You go to rickemerson.com. We've got Gary from Hillsborough. We've got his email posted and some pictures of Storm. You can tell she said she dropped 15 pounds. And you can see it. She looks, I'm not saying she looks bad, but she does look, facially, you can tell that she's just a little drawn, that she has dropped, weight since she's been there. So, anyway, good pictures, though. There's a picture of her with her arms spread out where she's, like, rocking the stage, where she looks fantastic. All right, so you know... Do you, before we take Don here, now, do you know everything that happens tonight? All of her, what she sings, what everybody else sings, how the judges' reactions are? Do you know all of the spoilers? Sarah, don't.
Oh, me?
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I was looking at those pictures of Storm. I thought you were talking to him.
There's no one else here.
I thought you were talking to
him. Tim is still sitting awkwardly back in the news area wondering when this whole Sarah Nate thing is going
to
be over.
You know what? I have to be honest with you. As soon as I've heard that they're being mean to Storm, I've started losing interest. They're just being mean to her to be mean to her.
When you say they, you mean the judges?
I mean the judges. I mean, she puts on a phenomenal performance tonight, and I guess she still gets knocked down, and then they just praise Delana.
It was a whole lot of that where she just does the best thing you've ever heard. They're like,
it's not memorable.
It just wasn't working for me.
All right, you want to guess the song?
I just don't feel like you brought it. Yes, but let me... I feel so bad. Should we apologize to Tim?
Yes.
Tim, we're sorry.
Sorry, Tim.
All right. Tim.
Well, that's okay. Make no mention of it.
No, you don't have to stay. You can come back if you want.
You can come back. We can hug.
Shane, come back, Shane. All right, there you go. Okay. It's, every time something like this happens on the program, which is... It's like about a three-month cycle. Tim just packs up his stuff and heads back to the news area for the duration of the program.
It's been such a good, happy stench for the past few months. I really thought... No, I jinxed myself because I was just telling my girlfriend Lisa the night before last. I'm like, you know, things are just going so well in my relationship. I'm so happy.
Can't ever say that.
Yep, and it was that night.
You can't ever say that.
I will never say it again.
No, ever. You're just asking God to punish you. All right. So you know everything that everybody sings tonight, or a Storm,
yes.
Anyway, the big ones. All right. So does Storm sing? But isn't it a song that she's already sung tonight?
No.
I heard it was audience choice. I don't even know what that means.
Well, it's a song that somebody else has already sung.
Oh, God. Is it a Nirvana song?
No.
Okay. Because I've about had enough of that. It's not Hole.
No.
Okay.
You're guessing the wrong way.
I know, but I'm just saying, when you say that, because, look, I mean, Mark Burnett has got more money and power than God. And it just seems like they're singing the same goddamn songs every week. I mean, they've sung Plush and Heart-Shaped Box, I think, and Celebrity Skin multiple times already. It's not My Sons of a Pilot, is it?
Mm-mm.
Okay. All right, here we go. I'll start guessing correctly now. And then we'll bring on Don, who went to Rockstar Supernova on Sunday. All right. Does Storm sing a song by an individual or a group?
Group.
Male singer or female?
Female.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how many of those could there possibly be? Is it by Blondie?
No.
Oh, so it's not Call Me?
No.
That's too bad.
It does have me in the title, though, the song that she
sings. The song, really?
Yeah.
All right, so Storm sings something by a female-fronted group. In 90s?
No, pretty recent.
Recent.
Well, like for the past 5 years. You know
what
it is. It
has me in the title?
Yeah.
Me. Me, me.
Do you want me to tell you who sang it?
No. No, I don't. Is it someone, an alternative group?
Yes.
Me.
Stop focusing on the me.
That's in the title of the song?
Yes.
Me. All right.
It's the second word.
Me. Me. How many words are in the title of the song? Four?
Four.
Me. This is gripping radio.
This is the worst show ever.
No, it's been a great show. It's been very relatable. This is just... This is... People only know what you tell them. This has been the best show ever. Let's see. This is... you know what this is? This is real radio, Sarah Dillon. It's radio that's unpolished, unfocused, unplanned, uninteresting.
I wish I wouldn't have said the me thing. If I could take it back, I would.
Did you play this at 94.7 FM Alternative Portland?
It was a little before
female
that.
Female-fronted band. It's not the Cranberries.
It's an eyebrow ring.
An eyebrow ring? Really? And it's not...
Well, it's a female who sings it, but there's also a male...
Oh, no,
who interjects.
This doesn't make any sense now. It's a...
It has a really awesome video. I secretly love this.
All right, I'm breaking my own rules. I'm guessing badly here. Would you say it's a rock song?
It's an alternative rock song.
All right.
It's like Hot Topic rock.
Is it... Oh, is it Evanescence?
It is.
It's that Bring Me to Life.
Yes.
Oh, God. I hate that song. That's wrong of me to say. I don't hate that song. That group kind of bugs me.
I love that song.
I've never
heard anything else by them, but I really like that song.
I don't hate the song. I think the problem with Evanescence is, like Americans and Oasis, I read too many interviews with them before I heard the song, and I decided that they were just dicks. Like, I read a bunch of interviews with them, and I'm like, because aren't they all Christian and whatnot? And they were sort of like Christian light, like POD and Creed. It was sort of like Christian and it was like Christian with like a little like R in a circle
like
next to it.
Like saturate more markets.
Totally. Yeah, it was like a Christian with like a little trademark symbol next to it. All right. Well, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Don, you went to see Rockstar Supernova on Sunday, right?
Correct.
All right. Now, did you go down there expressly for this?
Just for the show.
All right. And so where in the lineup does Storm perform this night? What, because there are only six people left, right?
She was, if I remember correctly, she was the fourth one to sing.
All right, so there is...
she was last week, too.
Yeah, so there's Delana, Lucas, Magni, Ryan, Storm. Am I missing somebody?
Toby.
All right, and so she's fourth, you said?
If I remember correctly.
I see, that's me, I'm a guy. That's an important slot to me, though, because it means you put somebody in the middle like that, it means that they're trying to hold the audience over.
Yeah, but they're trying to single her out for something, too.
Here's the thing. I was talking to Susan Reynolds about this morning, because I was saying, we're like, I'm going down, because I've said this, that I've already got my tickets. All my bags are packed. I'm ready to go now. I've got the tickets to Los Angeles on the 9th and the 10th. I've got the tickets to the taping. I swear to God, and I've said this again, Mark Burnett, I swear to God, if they kick Storm off before I go down there, someone's going to die.
Oh, that'd be horrible.
No, it would absolutely be horrible. And I swear to God, someone will end up put on a pointy stick. I have heard that there's going to be a final four. That there's going to be four people in the finale. And it seems to me, just from a television point of view, from the point of view of trying to recruit the most people to watch and keep the most people in the audience, that you would want a Storm there.
Exactly. Well, with Burnett, you think he would have some pull of knowing who may or may get picked. So if he knows you're from the area, could he tell you, hey, don't pack your bags, or
yeah, I know. I'm on the top of the list of people Mark Burnett's going to think of every day when he makes. No, let me consult with that Rick Emerson.
Never know unless you don't ask.
Yeah. I'll get right on that. I'll talk to his people. I'll have my personal assistant do that.
There you go.
Then I'll go get a manicure. But you know what I mean? Because can we all agree that Toby and Ryan, while hot apparently and talented, are kind of bland?
I think so.
Ryan. Again, like they said, the dark horse guy, I forget all right, the panel song he plays.
Okay, well, I'm getting away from this. You were there, so who sings first?
Lucas,
and what is Sarah? By the way, we're just going to start giving spoilers. So, I mean, anybody doesn't want to hear
already
spoilers,
out there anywhere.
Yeah, you just tune out if you don't want to hear.
Oh, God.
Because we always say that as much as I try to stay spoiler-free, I'll trade that for having somebody who was at the taping. So what is Lucas
spacing it out again. It's Lucas in the front, Storm in the middle, and Delana at the end. Again, Lucas sings Nirvana.
What song?
Lithium.
All right.
Went freaking bananas when he was done.
Yes. All right. So was he good or was
very
it?
Good. He was good.
All right, so he brought it, as they say.
He did, and unfortunately, Magni was next, and he commented to Supernova, it's like, I have to follow that.
See, because the audience is stupid. Here's the thing. The audience is really dumb, which is why those judge comments, it's not like in the grand scheme of things, it really matters what Gilby Clark thinks of anything. but it is important because those guys very clearly influence what the audience is, because the vast majority of people are stupid.
Yeah.
And I don't mean just, you know, I in the rock star audience. I mean everywhere. The vast majority of people are goddamned idiots. And so, I mean, look, the average number of people, they love politicians to make their decisions for them, George Bush to make their decisions, their husband, their daddy, a school teacher, somebody. People love other people to make their decisions for them so that they don't have to think. So for some moron sitting at home with a clicker and a Verizon phone and some Cheetos, and, you know, and he's like, I just don't know what to do. And then on the television, he hears Gilby Clark going, Storm is terrible. My sack is in Delana's purse because she's the best. That guy is going to vote for Delana because he's been tipped to do so by the judges.
Exactly.
So that's why that sucks.
You know, and they weren't very nice to Storm either.
All right. Well, let's go through these one at a time. So then, what does Magni sing?
Live by the song I Alone by Live.
God, boy, are they just going into my brain and deliberately picking out the songs that they know I hate?
This was like a fan choice thing.
And is he good?
Voted online. You know what? To be honest with you, yeah, I'm rooting for Storm, but
I like Magni.
All six of them performed very well. It's going to be tough to vote someone off.
I think they've really stepped it up. I think they've really raised the bar.
Yes.
They have lifted their performance. All right, and then who's next?
Ryan, if I recall.
And does he do the whole piano thing again?
I don't know what song that is.
Well, look, we've got we're unashamed.
He does Coldplay Clocks.
But he didn't, I don't know, can I say this?
I don't know. Does it contain profanity?
No, nothing profanity. Oh. But you think he's going to go in with a nice ballad with the piano, but like after a couple keys, he just goes ballistic. He jumps on top of the piano and goes crazy.
He goes all Jerry Lee Lewis. Well, that's cool, because how many times can you spin that same quiet but intense, you know, in the air tonight?
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to wave my hands in the crowd.
Yeah, that's, I mean, so we find ourselves saying this every week. I dig that guy. I like Ryan. I really do. I don't think he's right for this band. But I think he could have a solid musical career.
Yeah.
And then a lot of
that stage, too. He was just right there in front of me.
And chicks dig him, too, and that counts. That counts
exactly.
For something. Chicks like that guy. All right, so then...
Then our Storm stepped up.
Storm,
with Evanescence.
Storm sings the Evanescence song, which, again, I'm a little biased because I don't really care for the song, but she does...
Crushed it. Like she said yesterday, she crushed it.
She, you know, and Storm, here's the thing. People, she gets flack sometimes for having what people perceive to be false bravado, which I will admit is true, and I can spot that, and I think we all can. Maybe a little bit, as a performer, I can see a little bit, like, let me just tell you this. Here's the most obvious moment of Storm false bravado, and I think we all know this, so I'm not giving anything away, but it's when they reveal that she's been in the bottom three, and she does that, like, yeah, thing.
Yeah.
The first week, it was, you know, you're like, you stick it right back in their face. And she did it the second time, too, when they're like, but as the night went on, Storm ended up in the bottom three. And she just goes, yeah! And she kind of looks like the kid who's come back from being lectured by the teacher who tries to put on the brave face.
Yeah.
Which, I'm not trying to knock her. It's got to just be like being kicked in your soul to be up there and to be told on national television that the bulk of the voting country hates you. That's got to be hard. It's got to be tough.
She's professional. It goes right off her shoulders.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I said. It rolls right off. And it's got to be difficult to be standing right up there and just, you know, for everybody, like, the majority of the country thinks you are terrible. But what was my point? My point, though, is she has false bravado, but you can tell when she's doing it, and you can tell when she's giving you the straight scoop. And when she told us yesterday that she crushed it, I mean, when she says it with that kind of confidence level, you know that it's true. So, anyway, she does a good job. And then what do the judges say to her?
Well, the little chorus lines in the background that Sarah was talking about.
Yeah.
You know, the wake me up, I can't wake up, etc. Toby actually did that with her on stage.
Uh-huh.
And when she was done, freaking Dave Navarro and Gilby, they said, yeah, that was a good job, but Toby, you did an excellent job with that backup. Hope you can bring it with your song. And I'm like, dude, this is Storm's song, not Toby's.
Right, right.
That just
right.
Pissed me off.
Right. And so, because the deal is that Gilby seems to be the one that sort of has it in for her.
I don't know why.
I mean, well, it's
because he obviously has it for DeLana.
Yeah, totally, because he's wrapped around DeLana's finger like he was a $2 ring. I mean, everybody, that's at least that is based on what we've seen, you know, and sort of like what we have read and what we've sort of heard, is that DeLana has just got his junk in a purse somewhere.
I don't know.
All right. But overall, they really take an axe to her, huh?
Yeah, the first two, you know, I just don't get it. And, you know, Tommy's comments were, you know, turn around, you know, because Storm was wearing a dress. She had commented that, hey, I'm wearing a dress this time. You know, Tommy's got his comments of
sure.
He wants to see her half naked all the time.
Right, right, yeah. All right, and then after her must be
after her was
Toby. And then what did Toby sing?
He sang Rebel Yell, Billy Idol.
Oh, God, again.
That's what the fans voted for, and you know,
Jesus.
He brought it.
But you know what? This is more evidence that the fans are stupid, by the way, that the fans just keep picking these same overplayed songs. All right, but so he was good?
He was good, and I think what helped him, he pulled about four chicks out of the audience on stage to sing with him.
I have been waiting for somebody to do that. I have been waiting for somebody to do one of two things. Either to pull chicks or someone out of the audience to sing, or to do the full-on Vince Neil Home Sweet Home, leaned. You know what no one has done? No one has done the thing.
With an audience members?
Yeah, go down and you share the microphone in like a phallic and suggestive fashion with a female fan, and you're like doing the chorus together and your lips are almost touching over the microphone. It sounds gross when I talk about it, but you know, you see it in a video and you're like, that's badass.
Yeah.
Or to just like, you know what a dude should totally do? And Toby could probably get away with this. I don't think Ryan could. Toby should totally just, like, make out with a chick. He'd, like, during, like, a guitar break, he should totally lean down and just be all... And just totally mack on some girl in the audience. That would get him points, because he'd look like a sex god.
Well, when Magny was up there, he actually... He jumped into the crowd, he walked back through the crowd, up to Supernova, he was singing back there. You know, walked back to the crowd, got back on stage, it was over, and... Tommy had commented, you know, it would have been so cool if you would have walked back to where the VIPs were sitting behind Supernova.
Totally.
Which I didn't even know there were people back there when I watched it on TV.
Yeah, you can see there's like an opaque curtain where you can kind of see them lurking back there a little bit.
Oh, it's like dark blue back there. And Magni's comment was, well, the lighting was bad. And Tommy's like, the hell with the lighting. The VIPs would have loved it.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Exactly. All right.
And that, which brings us to Delana. And what does she sing?
She sang Mother Mother.
Ah, not Helen Bonham Carter, whatever her name is.
Tracy Bonham. You know, I didn't care for it.
Oh.
Maybe she did.
Hey, hello. Hello. Yeah. Hello. Be careful. Yeah, try not to say that. Yeah.
Sorry.
All right.
Okay, go ahead.
And so, yeah, anyway. And
bring
so,
up stuff.
And so, it, but you said you weren't all that impressed with it.
No.
Yeah.
But, you know, the producers tell us that, you know, we have to pump our fist and go wild and crazy for every performer, so.
Yeah.
But we had to.
Did they tell you that? Did they give you the big admonition about you've totally got to, you've got to go crazy for everybody?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. There's a guy in the corner that cues us when to start clapping, when to wave, everything.
All right.
That's what happened when I went on TRL. They would move people around.
They were doing that.
I will kick you out of here if you don't clap.
Exactly. If someone didn't clap, they would move him out of the way of the camera. They'd put him over in a corner, and they'd replace him with somebody who looked enthusiastic.
Yeah, they said they would tap us on the shoulder, you know, and move us to the back, and they really hemmed and hawed about people moving during the break. They don't want people moving.
And so, the judges are probably just they wet themselves over Delana and how great they think she is.
They did, yeah.
All right. So, based on what you saw at the Rockstar Supernova taping, Don, you were there. Based on what you saw, who do you think is going to be in the bottom three? And just purely based on what you saw there. And the way the judges reacted, given that the judges sort of steer the audience's perception.
The way they steer the audience would probably be Magni, Ryan, and probably Storm.
All right. And then...
Unfortunately, I hate to say that.
No, you got to say what you got to say. And then based on, again, what you saw, who do you think will get kicked off?
You think it might be Storm?
Storm or Magni.
Really? You think so?
Yeah.
More so
than... Ryan with the dark horse, jumping on the piano, running through the crowd. They digged it.
All right. Okay. Well, yeah.
That's what all the spoilers are saying, actually. They're like, Storm fans, you ready to vote your fingers off? Because
I hope not, because I just don't want her out.
Well, at least I'll have my Tuesday night.
$600 for plane tickets!
Well, once Storm is gone, I'm not watching this show anymore.
Me too. 50-50. I want her to win. She's going to go on tour. It's going to be great. But then again, I don't, because I want her to hear back home.
Right.
All
right.
What are you going to do?
It's true. No, that's what I'm saying. All right. Well,
I know is I'll be at Dante tonight having a couple beers.
God bless you. We'll come over and say howdy. We'll be kind of walking around doing our thing. So, Don, thank you so much. Thank you for the recap. We appreciate it, brother.
Sorry for the spoilers.
Not at all. No, don't be. That's kind of...
Oh, no, thank you.
No, we will gladly trade spoilers for the experience of a guy who was there at the taping. So.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Don.
Great, thanks a lot, guys.
All right, there you go. Let's get one more here. Judy, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey. I just wanted to tell you, since when do we care what four old crusty has-beens want to do with, I mean, Storm, she'd outshine them shamelessly on the stage anyway. Shamelessly.
I think the thing about Storm, and again, I don't know. I mean, we've known Storm for a few years now. We know her fairly well, I guess. But at the same time, I'm not going to say that we're like, you know, that I know everything that it beats within Storm's heart. So who knows? I think... You know, the thing about Storm is a very aggro person, and I mean that in a good way. Storm is a very, you know, she's very driven, very, very compelled, very motivated. Storm wants to win. And you know what?
Storm's already won.
But you say that, though.
I know.
But it's like, no one wants to be on that stage and to have a guy say, you're not good enough. I mean, we can all say that stuff. And even Storm, God love her, even Storm probably knows that in some ways, and I'll be very careful how I say this, in some ways, I mean...
She's better than them?
It's not just that.
So,
I mean,
so better than them, really.
I know, because those guys, they've had their careers.
Beyond these guys.
I know. No, I understand that. But here's the thing. In some ways, it is better for her to come in second. We all know that.
You know, because as soon as she gets voted off, I'm not watching this show anymore.
No. I'm with you. I'm with you. And again, it's there. In fact, my friend Patrick has actually started this movement called Storm for Second, because it's an online group he's doing, stormforsecond.com or whatever, because his whole thing is she'll get the exposure, she'll get you know, people paying attention to her, maybe an A&R rep sees her, maybe she gets an acting gig, or, you know, just, or even, you know, gets more exposure in Portland.
No, I truly do dig it. And I'll tell you, first, Lana,
but let me
look at these four guys. There's not one of them who does not love a chick who can suck a golf ball through a hose.
Yes. But here's the thing. Let me finish my observation here.
I'm sorry.
Which is that, so yeah, there's a whole lot to be said for Storm getting second. On the other hand, it would be untruthful to say that there isn't some part of at least me and probably us that you want to see Storm win because you know that she's the best and you want to see, you know, just knowing that you could win and that you're the best, that's fine. But there is something about having, you know, the judge, the people, the official, whatever, say, yes, you're the best. And here's a thing affirming and showing that you are the best and that you were the first. And no performer, I don't care what you know, what you think, what you feel late at night, what you tell yourself. No performer, entertainer, no one who is driven or motivated wants to stand on a stage and be told that they're second.
No, but I'll tell you what I'd love
if you're good
to
enough to, here's the thing, if you're good enough to come in second, you're good enough to be angry about it.
Once she's on the stage, people are going to start saying, who is that on the drums?
Well,
who plays the guitar?
I know that that's true.
I don't believe these guys are worthy of Storm.
I'm not saying I disagree with you, but I'm saying I'm torn because I know that, but at the same time, because she's so great and we're such fans, you do want to see her just kick everybody else's ass and win, you know?
I'd like to see her win and then tell them all to stick it.
Yeah.
I'd really like to see her get top notch and say, I'm sorry, but I was in the bottom three. I'm voting myself off this band.
I leave. Throw the mic in.
Thanks for the time. I know it's just I haven't called
before,
but loved all the parties.
Great.
But that's how you introduced me to Storm.
And,
you know, loved them all.
Thank you. Well,
and
Judy,
I feel very close. It's very personal, like we all do. But at the same time, as of about last week, if I had any faith at all in this production, if it were even inkled that it was honest, mm-hmm, I would feel differently.
Right.
But I'm totally convinced that it was probably rigged about 3 weeks ago.
That's why it's gotten so boring.
And the fact
is,
I believe Storm. When she's in the bottom three and she jumps up and she says, bring it on, that girl wants to sing. She wants to sing one of her songs. She doesn't want this namby-pamby Gloria Gaynor crap thrown at her.
That's
you
what
know?
I'm saying. All right, Judy, thank
you. I'm sorry.
You.
Let you go.
That's all right. Spread the word, sister. All right, there you go. All right, thank you so much.
It feels like we've taken no breaks today.
He's Snacky S'mores. Have we?
No, we have.
All right. Well, we should break again. I'll tell you what. Let's break. We'll come back with Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Dennis Pitzenbarger is going to join us here for a few. We've got some other stuff to get to as well. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We're live from Portland on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. Here's Queen.